And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We sing songs regarding the book of life. My name is written in the book of life. We ask ourselves, each and every one of us, is my name written there? What is that book about which we sing? What does the Bible tell us about this book of life? Since we know that those who are saved are written in it, what can we do to make sure that we are written in the Lamb's book of life? Those who are lost are not written in there. What things would cause our name to not be written there? Is it possible for that name to be blotted out? These are all good questions that need to be asked with regard to the book of life. What is that book called the book of life? And what kind of life is it? Well, it's a book of spiritual life, a book of abundant life, a book of eternal life. We all have a life given by God when we are born. That's not the kind of life it's talking about. It brings joy to those who are written in it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, we find written by or spoken by the Lord about the book of life. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. The limited commission, this is the one given to the 70. He says in verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that your spirits are subject, or that these spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Written in heaven. A place to be written, that's called a book. And so in heaven is a place written where these 70 enjoyed having their names written there. Revelation 13, verse 8, it's called the book of life, the book of the Lamb. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, it contains the names of those that are saved. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, once again. It does not contain the names of those who are lost. Notice with me Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. The idea of this book is entertained all the way back in the giving of the old law. Exodus 32 and verse 32. "Yet now, if thou forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." This is Moses speaking. The people had sinned an egregious sin, and Moses was interceding for them. The Lord had said something to the effect that he was going to take them out of existence, that he was going to remove them as his special people. The sin was that bad. And so it was, as Moses spoke to God, he says, he speaks to God saying that, "Why don't you remove me if you're going to remove them as well? Remove my name out of the book of life which thou hast written." Verse 33, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Moses, you can't choose whose name is in there arbitrarily. No, God decides not man. God decides whose name is written there. He has specific rules, rules that must be obeyed. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Verse 1 tells us, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, etc. Then in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, asking yourself if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, well, it might be at one point. You might have obeyed and might have done that which God has required. But can your name be blotted out? Yes, it can. But to those that overcome, notice that phrase, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. There is a connotation there. There is an implication, if you will, that if you don't overcome what? Overcome circumstances, overcome sin, overcome your lackadaisicalness that is naturally comes upon people after they've gotten into something for a while. They simply turn away from the excitement that they had at one time. If you don't overcome that, if you don't overcome ignorance about God, if you don't overcome those things which attack the Christian daily, if you don't overcome Satan and his wiles, then your name can be blotted out of the book of life. Who is written in the book of life? We note that it contains some blotted out names. That in the Lamb's book of life, as you open it up, you'll see a name that was written in there and then was blotted out. In some way, you know that there was something there, but today, it was eradicated in some way. We would say an erasure mark. Today, we would use whiteout. We would know that something was there, but it's covered up. Have you ever seen a document that was redacted? You go to, they don't want you to know certain things in it, but you know the rest about it. They take a penknife or an X-Acto knife and cut out certain parts. Or they take maybe a Marsalot and they mark through it to where you can't see it anymore. Blotted out is the idea. The idea that such is not there anymore for you to read. You can't understand what it was. You can't understand who it was. It's blotted out. Names that were written. Who does the writing? Who puts names into the book of life? You know, some people think that because of their doctrine, they have the right to tell people that your names are written in the book of life. Some people want to make it all-inclusive. Everyone is going to be written in the Lamb's book of life. Some people make it to where God, before the foundation of the world, already decided who was going to be saved and who was lost. Therefore, who is in the book of life? That someone can go through their whole lives and never done anything against God, but their names are never to be written in the Lamb's book of life because they were not predestinated. Who does the writing? We've already noticed in Exodus chapter 32, verses 32 and 33, that it's God that does the writing. He is the one that has the right to say whose name will be there and whose name will not. And He will judge rightly. You know, we often want to bargain with God, saying, well, if I do this, surely You'll save me. Someone may say, well, I'll build a temple, therefore I will be saved. Maybe Herod the Great did that. He built onto the temple of God in Jerusalem. Maybe he was bargaining with God doing that. I don't think his character allows for that particular conclusion, but it might have been so in his mind anyway. It might be that if you do certain number of good deeds, you think, well, surely I'm a better person than that person who thinks they're a Christian. Therefore, I will be saved. But our bargaining is simply laughter before God. God doesn't accept bargains. God doesn't accept your conjuration of what you think might be a saved person. God gives us all of that in a document that is provable to be from His pen, words from His mouth, that we can say, this is what we need to know in order to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, Revelation 3 and verse 5, names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 13 and verse 8, Jesus is the one that puts names in that book. After all, He is the Son of God. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, once again. The point, once again. Who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You'll never find that it is male over female, that it is rich over poor. You'll never find that it is one particular class of people over another. No Jew over Gentile. Whose names are written in the Book of Life? Well, it's the saved, verses 12 through 15 of Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Judged according to their works. This is frightening for many people. On the other hand, it is comforting for many people. But what is the difference? Well, the difference is this: how God views works. There are two classes of works. There are the works that are God's works. There are the works that are man's works. Aunt Sally might say, well, if you would visit Mama more often, then you might be saved. And God would say, he that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. Man complains that, well, baptism, that's a work. God doesn't honor works like that. But it's God that says such. And so we expect salvation having done the works of God. Whose works is it? We will be judged according to our works. You know, if you obey God's works, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. The blood was shed for the remission of sins. That all mankind could be saved because of the blood of Christ. It's that powerful. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, the inaugural giving of the entrance requirements into the kingdom of heaven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That is, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied. The blood is shed for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There's work to be done. Having done that work, you can expect to be saved. And who is in the Book of Life? It is the saved. Who are blotted out of the Book of Life? Those that have continued but haven't continued in the faith. Who are written in it? Those who continue to keep sin out of their lives. Revelation 21 and verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's easy to fall, isn't it? Go down life's highway and we find temptations. This is pleasurable. Try this. This will make you have a higher status than someone else. Do this. Look this way, you'll be more attractive. Act this way, you'll be more acceptable. And so we go down the road of life and let the world dictate to us what is acceptable in this world. And we do and live that way. We become what the world says we ought to be. And we come before God in our sins. And God says, such must not be. And it shall no wise enter into it, that is, into the church of God, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We often think that we can do what we want and we'll still be saved, but such is not the case. Who are written in the Lamb's book of life? Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Jerusalem becomes a picture of what would become the church of God. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, we see the allusion to Zion. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and the top of the mountains, and all and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice Zion. Out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now back to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. These are those that are written in the Lamb's book of life that are holy, that are able to stand before God, that have dealt with their sins, that have no need to worry about being blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those who are holy, those who have been delivered, these shall be written in the book. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. We find that it is exclusive to those that labor in the kingdom. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul writing notes of thanks. He talks about his fellow laborers. Notice what he says about them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. First, the yoke fellow. You see a pair of oxen. If you watch a movie about going to Oregon or something, you especially have seen the yoke of oxen that pull the wagons. Unless there are two, then the wagon can't be pulled. One is not enough, and we'll start to turn the wagon in circles because of the uneven nature of it. But you get two in there, and you have something that can pull the wagon. Ability is inherent there, and the idea that they are in it together. And so Paul tells this yoke fellow, that is the Philippian brethren, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Do you think Paul thinks highly of those that helped in the gospel? Yes, he does. Labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. These are those that were in the yoke with him, whose names are in the book of life. I don't know if you have any idea about what you're going to do with your life in the remaining years. But I know one thing. You can't go wrong. You can never go wrong being among this number. These fellow laborers with Paul. These who have taken up to preach one lesson. That's all you can do. These who have taken up to spread the gospel over the internet. These who have taken up to spread the gospel with a gospel tract to their neighbor next door. These who have trained themselves to follow a group of scriptures and sit down with someone to tell them what they need to do in order to be saved. You can't go wrong. Their names are written in the book of life. Now, we've talked before about the gospel doctrine of ability. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it according to the ability that God giveth. According to the ability, 1 Peter 4:11. That there is a doctrine. You may not have the ability you think you ought to have in order to preach the gospel to someone else. But someone has to tell your son, your daughter. Someone has to tell your brother, your sister. Someone has to tell your neighbor. I don't know whether that's going to be you, but if you have the ability, it is on you to go and tell someone. Because their names, the people who do that, their names are written in the book of life. You want to be sure? Take the gospel to someone else. It may be writing a check to a missionary. It may be a tract that led you to Christ, and you giving that to someone else. It may be a CD of a sermon. It may be a link to a lesson on the internet. It may be any number of things, but something you can do. Who are written in the book of life? The saved, those who continue to keep sin out of their life, those who are holy, those that have been delivered, those who labor in the kingdom. Hebrews 12, verse 23. The church is in the book of life. Hebrews 12, verse 23. Verse 22 reads, "But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Names written in heaven. That's the place where I want my name, and so should you. Down through the ages, people have read the gospel, have had it preached to them. They have longed to have their name written in a place where they have a place prepared for them. John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 3. We turn our attention then to who are not written in the book of life. We've already read Exodus chapter 32, verses 32 and 33. Those that continue in sin, those that egregiously offend God and have no intention to repent, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, it's easy for it to become one of us. You say, I really don't want to go to worship today, and I'm tired, I'm not very prepared. And so it becomes maybe a difficult thing. It hurts your conscience once, but less and less as time goes by. A few months later, why did I ever go to church? It's so much easier to stay at home. So much better to get rest on Sunday morning. That's what a lot of other people do. Why not me? Why not use it as more recreation time? And it never even hits your conscience anymore. That's when it becomes egregious to God. You have forsaken the assembly. Forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Notice that we all oftentimes quote that passage, but we don't enough quote the passage beyond it. Notice, if you will, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, other translations read, for if we continue in willful sin, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, if you don't go to Christ, where are you going to go? If you forsake Christ and the assembling of yourselves together, where are you going to go? There's no other place. Verse 26 once again. For if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Notice, we're attaching this to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore a punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Stop right there. What are we talking about? We're talking about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's easy to get that far and not make the connection. The connection is there. It's permanent. We're talking about offending the living God. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignations which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done desperate under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. I don't know everything about what that vengeance is, but I do know, according to what we've read today, that the Lord blots out names out of his book. Those that continue in this egregious error can be blotted out of the book of life. Who are written in the book and who are not written in the book? Those who sin, those who oppose the righteous, Psalm 69, verses 27 and 28. Those who do not overcome, Revelation 3 and verse 5. Those who worship the beast, Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. Those who take away from God's words, Revelation 22, verse 19. It's easy to look at the Bible like a cafeteria. I don't know about cafeterias in Missouri, but in Texas, we all know what Luby's is and Furr's cafeteria. Father's Day, they're packed. Mother's Day, they're packed. You try to get in there and get in there before the Baptists. And before you, you see, it's true. Before you, you see all manner of things that that might delight you. You have an entree and two side dishes you want to get on your tray before someone makes sure that your thing is gone. I always went for the chicken fried steak. You can't really go wrong with a chicken fried steak. How do you do that badly? But some people like the fish. Some people like the rare roast beef. It seems like it's always red in the middle. I can't stand that. But the idea is that some people like to pick and choose out of the Bible what they want. I like this. But sometimes the people that go through Luby's, they'll say, "Well, don't you have this today?" Somebody behind them will say, "No, we don't have that." Some people like to do that to the Bible and add things in. And, well, I'll just choose that. If it's not in there, it should be. Or I'll just misinterpret this passage so that people will think it's in there. People do that to the Bible. Is that acceptable with God? No. God says if you add to His Word or take away from it, that you will receive the curse, the curses that are in this book. No. Who are not written in the book? Those who take away from God's words. We need to ask the question simply right now. It's a simple question. And it's easy to answer if you will. If you think about it, you know whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you saved? Or are you lost? Or if you have been saved, have you continued to walk down the righteous path, the narrow way? Those are easy questions. All you have to do is examine your own brain. Are you obeying? Have you obeyed the entrance requirements to get into the kingdom of God? If you're a Christian, it may be that your name has been blotted out. That's a hard thing to consider. That it was once there. In a book that is in God's presence, your name was there, but it's not now. It's been blotted out. Well, you can't read it anymore. No one's going to call it come judgment day for you to be saved, for you to come before Him. You're among the lost, among the millions, billions, trillions, however many it's going to be by the time Jesus comes again, that simply will not obey the gospel. Is that going to remain the case for you? I believe it was the case for a man by the name of Simon in Acts chapter 8. He had once obeyed the gospel, but the idea that he could have more and be more came before him, and he was willing to buy a gift in order to be more important like the apostles were. The apostle Peter said that your heart's not right with God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He was found in sin, and his name, according to everything that we've read, must have been blotted out. But what was the purpose of the prayer? So that it could be written in again. And you could be forgiven. You can come before God once again clean. That God is that gracious. What about you? Has your name been blotted out? Or perhaps it's never even been written in. You have an opportunity. Let me tell you what opportunity that you have. That obeying Jesus, recognizing Him as who He really is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Recognizing these facts. Recognizing that He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And that when He commands that you repent of your sin, that's what you do. When He commands that you confess His name before men, that's what you do. And when He commands something as simple as being baptized for the remission of your sins, you say, "Where do I go and what do I do?" You know, I can picture a person in my mind that is ready to receive that very gift today. Their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why wouldn't you? As the invitation song being being sung. Jump up out of that pew. And just as fast as you can, get down into one of these seats to be the first in line to be baptized so that your name will be written in heaven. Your name will be written in the Lamb's book. Your name will be written in the book of life. We can assist you in your obedience. Won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?